sind du bekämmer.
Amen. All right. Tell you what. Y'all are always surprising me. Now, hallelujah. Now let's see. Well, next one we need Donna to get up here and sing one. And then Irma.
And
Shelby.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, she's next. He's still a solo, all right. It's going to be low. Solo.
And we're going to need, what we're going to do, one Wednesday night, we're just going to have just have a good time and just singing. Amen. Oh, man. I tell you what, you ladies, y'all are surprising me all the time. But, well. I hope and pray y'all have had a good week so far. Now, I'm gonna suggest something tonight. Do not ask me to go down in ramps and back.
What? You won't hold it up?
Yeah, it was.
Did you go down with him?
Close. I tell you. I'm going to tell you. And then after we got in the car and everything, and Shelby got to telling me, she said, you know, every time you wore that black suit, you fail. And
one.
Yeah.
It didn't come down. I think it was bored or something.
It was Peter. He was right at the bottom of it. Something on that board.
You don't have to fix that board.
Yeah. Well, it's just pushed under there.
I don't know, but I ain't going up and down no more. Yeah. I mean, I just didn't go on and get down the steps and just roll on down the steps.
Oh, that ain't believable.
I sure am glad that God put the word laughter in the book. I mean, I laughed like I do a good medicine, I tell you. It is. That's all we can do is laugh at it. I mean. Then I go home, and I went home Sunday night, and everything, and Christy was there. She says, "What happened, Daddy?" I said, well, She said, "Did you hurt yourself?" I said, "No, I didn't hurt myself. I said, I just hurt my pride." And she said, "You know what the word pride mean, don't you? The Bible speaks of pride. It says, pride goeth before destruction." And it says, "You better watch out. Because the next time you go down, you're going to be..." I ain't gonna get into all she said. But amen. I tell you, it's just a good, it's just good to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. It really is. Amen. And it's just good to where we can be able to just laugh and carry on. I know some people, when they go to church, they'll go to church and they'll come walking in and they'll have seem like they had a bunch of persimmons or something. And like if you say anything to them, next thing you know, they're going to get mad with you or something like that. But hey, I ain't going to get mad at nobody. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it to me to get mad with people. Because I don't want to lose my fellowship. I don't want you to lose my fellowship with the Lord. But we're going to go back into Ephesians tonight. We're going to start with verse 14 or maybe verse 15, but that's where we're going to start at tonight. And we're going to keep on going in the book of Ephesians until the Lord says go another direction. So Ephesians is a good book. It's not a book in here that's not a good book. But Paul, I tell you, Paul wrote some good books. And he's got his name pinned to them. And I think the reason for the Lord to use Paul in that way was where Paul could teach us some things and he could go back and we could see where he's relating to some things that he went through and he's going through. But with Paul, I honestly believe this, that all of Paul's books was written, where he's got his name appended to, I believe all of them was written when he was in prison. When he was in jail. Because that's the only time that he would be by himself was when he was in jail. And he knew that once he was there, he had to do something. So he just pinned down another book, what God gave him, and used the Holy Spirit to write out the words. But, Paul, he speaks of so many different things for us and for the Christians and for us to be able to use within the realm of the life that we are going through today and through society, because it's nothing that we go through today that Paul has not been through. And it's nothing that we go through today, even what Jesus has not been through. He's went through a whole lot more than we've ever going to go through. But here in verse 15, I'm going to go back and I'm going to start at verse 13 and just kind of bring us back up to the point. But it says in verse 13 in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory." We see right here where not only did Paul trust the Lord, But Paul is asking the Ephesians here, the church here, to trust the Lord. And don't put the trust in mankind, but trust the Lord. And I think that's what we need to do today. We need to put more of our trust in the Lord, and instead of looking toward mankind and what mankind is doing, because mankind will fall. And, you know, and even Sunday, after I've heard that about, you said Darrell Walters, right? I tell you, I've heard more people say something about it since then, when Darrell Walters was at the prayer meeting, prayer breakfast last week in Washington, D.C. I heard somebody today up at the diner mention it this morning and talking about the same thing. And where he heard Darrell Walters say, he heard it with his own ears and what he said. And he was looking straight at Obama and still is looking straight at that Dalai Lama, which you want to call him, a dollar. He's probably, he ain't no worth more than a dollar bill. But, you know, but Darrell Waltrip here, I mean, he was looking, both of them square in their eyes, the way the individual was talking this morning, and says, ye must be born again. And if you're not born again, if you don't ever get saved, you're not going to heaven. And he said it, I don't know how many different times, and he looked straight square in the eyes of them two individuals there. And he says, if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. If you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. And that's what he said. And, you know, and thinking about it, he was the one that could do it. Because he had lived the life before, and I don't think he gave his testimony. This individual didn't say anything about it. But up to about 15 years ago, you know, he was lost. And then he knew he needed some help. He needed somebody else. Yeah, he'd won races after races and fame and all of this. And he had the prestige of people just looking to him for it. And he was an arrogant type of individual. And he would tell you that he was an arrogant individual. And he said, since God saved him, it's changed his life. Now, and I want, and the reason I brought that up once again, I want to reiterate. I know that I don't particularly care for them to have the races on Sunday. I wish they wouldn't. I wish they'd go back and redo everything and go back and have the races on Saturday. Because Sunday is a day of rest. And we have need to rest. And we need to rest our mind. We need to rest our bodies. We need to rest our intelligence. And we just need to rest the body all together on the day of rest. And that's what God set it for. That's the reason God worked for 6 days. Now, if God worked for 6 days, then that's what he done. He worked for 6 days to create the world, to create heaven and earth, and create all the fowls and all the beasts and everything. But he said this now, the seventh day is a day of rest. We don't have no days of rest anymore. I can remember, and I know some of you can, I don't know if all of you can or not, but I can remember there was a time that where on any given holiday during a year, whether it's July the 4th, Easter Monday, or Thanksgiving, or Christmas, or Labor Day, or whatever, when the holidays come up, the places of business was closed, except for one drugstore. One drugstore would be open, and they would rotate. I mean, if we had two or three drugstores in the city, they would rotate in opening up. They wouldn't all open up all at one time. And then they come out. Then they had the blue law and all of that and everything. And really, basically, what brought all of that about was the alcohol. That's what brought all the businesses out and said, we're going to open on Sunday. And what has happened to them? We have more businesses today go out of business because they're open on Sunday than if they're just going and close the businesses on Sunday. They wouldn't have to worry about it. That's the reason the United States has done got itself in the position that they're in. And we see that. It said, and he heard the word of truth. You can speak about this word, or you can speak about the past, just like what I said about we could go back at a time when the stores was closed. I mean, we drove from right there where we live at now to out to on Ringo Road, right there in front of the, right above the flea market there, on Christmas. And you didn't see no cars on the highway. You didn't see no places of business open. Why? The cars that you seen on the highway, they was going to a relative's house. That's what they was doing. And they was going there, and they was going to take what gifts that they given them. But you know, the greatest gift that was ever given was the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the greatest gift that we could ever receive, is that what he done at Calvary. And I didn't know I didn't know what I was getting when I got saved. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know anything about all of this. I didn't know anything about being saved. I didn't know anything about, well, you need to read God's word, and I read, and I started over in the book of Genesis, and then my Sunday school teacher told me, he said, you don't start in the book of Genesis now. He says, if you do, when you get over into Genesis, and then you get into Exodus, and then Numbers, and Leviticus, and everything, he said, you're going to get so confused and everything. He said, man, your mind going to be so warped, it's going to be pitiful. He says, don't get over and read that. He says, you need to start in the book of John. Read the book of John first. And he taught me a whole lot. But we have to realize in some things that we do it, why? Because we know the truth. And the truth will set us free. And it says right here, it says in verse 14, where we'll start at, it says, wherefore I also, after I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. After I've heard of your faith. That's the same way that when somebody standing up and bragging on the Lord or testifying or something like that, and you thank the Lord for what he's done for you and for being there for you and everything. We see that right here. It says, after I've heard of your faith. We don't have to mention the word faith. All we have to do is just say, thank you, Lord, for being there for me. Thank you, Lord, for just being there. And help me. And the word faith, I do love that word faith. I really do, because it's not but five letters there. What's in the middle? What's the letter that's in the middle of faith? Right, I. And says, wherefore I also, after I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer. We never should ever forget about and in the individuals that we carry to the Lord. We need to always remember them. And it says, cease not. I think what that is telling us is, we don't cease not to pray. Just like I brought up Sunday night about Daniel. When it was in the sixth chapter of the book of Daniel, when Daniel read the verses, the verse right there, and says, and Daniel said, the handwriting on the wall. And then it was signed. It was signed by an holy God. But it was a sign there. And he gives us signs in the Bible from Genesis 1:1 through the book of Revelation 22:21. There's all kinds of signs in there. And we also have the spirit of gifts. And how many gifts are there? How many gifts are there in the Bible? For it's plenty. I have to think right here. You could say, well, wherefore I also, after I heard. That's one of the gifts of the Spirit. I heard of who? I heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cease not to give thanks. We should not give up and saying, hey, well, Lord, I did get up this morning and I had my little prayer, and I didn't pray that long, but Lord, you know what I meant. And you didn't hear the words in there. You're listening to my heart. See, that's what God listens to. He don't listen to our mouth. He don't listen to what comes out from our tongue that's on the end of the tongue. He looks on the heart of the individual and what the heart is speaking. And the heart speaks the truth. But majority of the time, our mind will override the heart. It'll get in the way. It'll get in the way. Why? Because you've done a good job, Donnie. You just keep it up, Donnie. It's not about me anymore. It's not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's about the sinner right here. That sinner just lost and dying and going to hell. That would have been, like Darrell Walter said, if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. That's what it's about, bringing the lost into the church and where they can hear the words of God to being preached. It's the foolishness of preaching. Now, when I first read that, after I got saved and I first read that, and thought, what in the world is Paul saying now? The foolishness of preaching? I didn't know it was foolish. Well, you know what it was? You know what it means? What it means is the foolishness of preaching to the sinner, to the one that's never been saved. They don't understand why we do what we do. They don't understand the things that you do. Why? Because they don't know anything about it. And what, and me standing up here and just letting my mouth just continue to open and let the words come out and everything, and then I'll go out and visit this week. Yeah, it's foolish to them. They don't know nothing. They don't know nothing else. But it's the foolishness of preaching that will draw all men to Him. And they got to be drawn to Him. You know, over there in the Old Testament speaks about the void. What we say. And we need to be mindful for what we do say. Because if it's, and what we say, if it's good, it will not return back to us void. It's the same thing. Also in the other direction. If we say something wrong, if we say something contrary to what God's word says, He's also saying, His word will not return void. Speaking, and my words won't return back to Him void, because my words have already went out and done the damage. And we don't need to do no more damage. People today are struggling. People are hurting today. And people don't know the truth. They really don't know the truth. But we got to give them the truth. And when we give them the truth, and when they think about it, and when they come to church, and when they listen, and they listen with an attentive ear, and what is speaking to the heart, they will know if it's the truth or if it's a lie. They know. Can you remember when, can you remember when your children growing up, or your grandchildren growing up and everything, and hear the word, they would be running around like this, 5, 6, 7 years old or something like that, and they'd be out here going around and everything, and they'd get a little squabble over here about maybe a little toy they got, and they said, well, ain't been with him no more. He took my toy. We do the same thing. I'm not going back down that church down there no more. They won't speak to me. I'm not going back down there. They won't speak to me. But see, we can't forget it. We don't forget about it. We should.
we should just let it go, let it slide off the back like the water does on the back of a duck. Needs to just slide off. And next, well, a small child going around it, they got my toy. Mommy, they got my toy. Daddy, he took my toy away from me. All right, darling. You'll be all right. Soon you'll be okay. Then, next thing you know, the tears done dried right up, and they done walked back over to where the individual they was playing with, or playing with the toys and everything, and they'd come over there and they'd hug the neck or something like that. And then they done forgot about it. Then they start back for playing again. They done forgot about it. If we as adults would just watch them and learn from the children, would be so much better off. That's trying to correct and say, well, you know, well, you weren't supposed to be over there anyhow, you know. It was his toy, you didn't have any business with his toy. You know, you just need to come, you just come over with me. You should sit down over here now until you straighten up now. Let kids be kids today. But no, they don't want to today. People want to have kids, but then they want them to grow up. They want them to be 20 years old. Here they are, ain't got out of diapers yet. Expecting that child to be 20 years old and behave like they're 20 years old. Well, I'll be honest with you. Wait, somebody. Adults today, the way they behave and the way they act, I'd rather have the 2 and 3 year old child going around and pouting. I mean, you know, because the adults, they just randomly, they get confused. But children don't. They don't get confused. But I tell you what. But if you want to know something about somebody, you ask the child. Ask the child about them. What do you think of them? It's just something not right. I just can't talk to them. That's the way they are. They tell you the truth. They tell you the truth and won't back up by doing it. In verse 17 says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The spirit of wisdom. You know, we need to read the book of Proverbs more than we do. I do, I know. I need to read it more than I do. Because the book of Proverbs deals with our life as a human being. And it tells us in the way that we must go. And it also tells us in the way that we've been. And the things that we went through.
And says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The eyes of our understanding. You know what that's speaking about?
Reading God's word. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. We can be enlightened anytime we get in the word of God. We can be strengthened through it also. We can be encouraged. We think that we can get in God's word and we can read it, and then we can pray a little while and get back in there and reread it again, and then get out and pray a little while and read it again. And the next thing you know, we think that we can move all the mountains. We can move all the obstacles that's in our way. We can't do none of it. But God can do it through us. He can do it. And He will do it. But we have got to allow Him to do it. And we've got to be the vessel that He wants us to have. That He wants us to be. Excuse me. But the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. The hope. We don't have no hope so salvation. We have a no-so salvation. We can know it because it's in God's word. And God also tells us, where Paul is saying that we must work out our own salvation. What he's speaking about that is, he's saying that we must go out here and we must work diligently because of our salvation. I'm not supposed to go out here and work for my salvation. I'm supposed to work because of it. Because of it. That's what I'm supposed to do. Where He can strengthen me and encourage me. But the hope of His calling. The hope of His calling. I sure am glad that the Lord Jesus back in 1980, the second Sunday of that August of 1980, that the Lord Jesus Christ allowed the Holy Spirit to speak to my heart. And what was happening there was the Holy Spirit was calling me to the Lord. Says, Dinah, says, I just want to carry you to the Lord. I want to carry your burden to the Lord. And like I said many times, I didn't know anything about salvation. Didn't know anything about the Virgin Mary. Didn't know anything about the cross. Didn't know anything about none of that. Thank God He gave me a book
that's got his writings in it to teach me what he wanted me to know. And you know, and I know a whole lot of times it seems like I'll add a little something to it or something like that to kind of maybe bring a point out or something like that. But we don't know. We really don't know if that wasn't the truth or not. We don't know. Because we do not have everything that Jesus said. We don't have everything that God said. He just gave us a little portion to feast on, to where we can grow. Because if he give us everything that was said, man, we'd be so confused because says though in the book of Revelation, says the world cannot hold the words that he has spoken. And the volumes of books, it talks about the volumes in the Bible. Lo, the volumes. But he's got it, thy stored in heaven. And I'm thankful tonight that I can honestly say to you that I'm saved. I have a no-so salvation. I have a home where my Lord is going to be at. Wherever he's at, that's where my home's going to be at. And if you're here tonight, you saved, that's where your home's going to be at too. Right where the Lord's at. And, you know, there's one other scripture I can think of right now where it's even at. But it speaks about after the tribulation and after the thousand-year reign and all of that and everything. And then when he comes back here on this earth, set up his kingdom here, we're going to have a, he's going to appoint each one of us over something that he has purposely had for us to do. I may not be nothing but a giant over some people in the cleaning process. That's all right. I may be a doorkeeper. That's all right. If where my Lord's at, that's where I'm going to be at. So no matter what he's got me doing, I'm going to be satisfied. I'm going to be satisfied. And my name is written there in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Yes.
Is your name written there? If not, you need to come tonight. It's wonderful to know the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you, Father, for what you have allowed us to read and try to expound upon it. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll just take it. And Lord, leave each one of us something, a
a nugget there that we can maybe gnaw on and chew on, Lord, that we can be able to go about and do what you'd have us to do in the next coming days and weeks and the months ahead, Father. We thank you for what you're going to do here at Faith Baptist Church. We thank you for the visitors that have been in. We thank you for some of the visitors that are still coming, Father. And Father, we just want to thank the Lord Jesus for what you're going to do during the revival in the end of March, and then with Brother Noah, and then with the Jubilee, Father. And we ask God, Father, you'll just look down upon it, Father, you'll crown it with thy glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.